You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
How can you market your skills to get the attention of major corporations, your boss, or even a potential client? How do you broker great deals and ensure long-term income and work on a great retirement for yourself? We're honored this week to have as a guest the man who has brokered blockbuster deals for superstar entertainment mogul Steve Harvey. Harvey's seemingly meteoric climb up the ladder of success was based on true talent, a great plan, and surrounding himself with the right people. Those in the music industry are very much aware of Rushon McDonald's position as a man who brokered major radio deals for Steve Harvey, including his first major radio agreement with Radio One in Los Angeles. Steve's current deal with Premier iHeartMedia for the nationally syndicated Steve Harvey Morning Show. Rushon also brokered deals for Steve's best-selling books, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, Straight Talk, No Chaser, and is responsible for brokering the deals for the hit movies based on the books. He helped to negotiate the deal with Family Feud and many more deals, along with attorney Ricky Anderson. But Steve and Rushon decided to become business partners some 20 years ago. In this podcast, Rushon gives great advice and points out many mistakes people make in the process of attempting to reach their goals, as well as his best advice to avoid the pitfalls. I greatly hope that you walk away from this segment of the Radio Facts Radio Show more equipped for success. We're featuring one of the most respected men in the industry, the multi-talented creative brand liaison and broker, Rushon McDonald.
My man, how you doing, sir?
Hey, everything's great. Let's talk about how you and Steve connected.
I work for IBM. Okay, my degree is in mathematics. Mm-hmm. In 2.5 years, I worked undergrad at IBM. In 2.5 years, I was working professionally as a full-time employee. And I was a pretty funny guy. You know, I was doing comedy. In fact, one of the first competitions I entered in was Showtime, which was won nationally by Ellen DeGeneres. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first contests I ever entered.
Showtime at the Apollo?
You know, no, Showtime, Cable Network.
Okay, I was going to say.
Cable Network.
Okay.
And I never did Showtime. Never had an opportunity to be blessed by that crowd.
Okay.
But Showtime Cable Network had this large national competition, and I was in the running to be named the funniest man in the country, and she won it. Mm-hmm. Ellen DeGeneres won it. Mm-hmm. And look where she's at today.
Right.
And so I won it like 3 years in a row, and I was headlining all in the southwest part of the country, and I was headlining a club in Houston, and I didn't know who was on the show, and this skinny guy came downstairs, and he said his name is Steve Harvey, very friendly guy. You could tell his eyes were wide open, man. He was eager to learn, and this is something he wanted to do for a living, and he was just, and he had such an original approach to comedy, you know. And he was my opening act. Steve Harvey was my opening act. Mm-hmm. He was my opening act, and we hit it off, man. And the thing about it was that he's always asked me, man, marketing tips, you know, or how to be successful. And I told him one of the ways that if you fill out these little postcards and lay them on the table, and then the people will fill them out, then every time you come back down, just mail them out, and you build your base. I said, the great thing about black people is that you can see when black people show up in the right audience, because back then, we basically played, this was way before Def Comedy Jam. Mm-hmm. This was in 1986.
Right.
And so you knew your following would grow by the amount of black people that showed up to see you. And in 88, I just happened to be on TV, was laying in my bed, man, turned on Showtime at Apollo, and I saw Steve Harvey come out. Mm-hmm. Didn't know it, and I saw his first national appearance on Showtime at the Apollo, and he did that famous Mike Tyson joke, the eye mm-hmm. joke, which led him eventually to host the show. And the thing about it, man, the interesting thing about Steve is that, you know, when he became a headliner, and I, of course, was a headliner, we didn't get to see each other that much. And I remember in 92, when Def Comedy Jam, I take Def Comedy Jam, not at the same time, I take Def Comedy Jam with Ari Spears, I take it with Dave Chappelle, and that little block right there. And he had taken it another time. And I hadn't seen Steve stand up. Okay, and I was a funny guy. I have to believe that I was one of the top funny guys in the country at the time. And because everybody was breaking out, you know, Chris Tucker was breaking out strong, Joe Torre, Bill Bellamy. It was creating stars left and right, and they were going on tour. And the Def Comedy Jam tour came to Houston, and that was my time. They asked me to come down and do a set. And I was talking, I ran to Steve, I said, hey, how's it going, man? He said, man, thank you, Rashawn, man, everything's going great. He said, man, can you help me put my show together? And he ran down the show. I go, move that around. That sounds funny. That sounds funny. And I went out and I killed it. I laid it out there. I set fire to the stage, okay? They introduced Steve Harvey. And before he walked to the stage, he got a stand ovation, which freaked me out. I go, hey, this dude ain't even said nothing. And he's standing up on him. So, and he did comedy, man. He did jokes and comedy routine that I would have never even thought of. Okay, I wouldn't even have thought of these jokes. I wouldn't even thought that he even went there. And it was right there. I went, that's what he want to do for a living. I don't have the passion or the desire to reach that deep inside myself to produce that type of comedy.
So you could do
that's
it,
what
but
I
you
knew.
Didn't. You didn't necessarily want to do it.
Yes, I didn't have the. I didn't have the will to want to go that deep inside myself. I kid you not, man. That's to reach greatness, man. To reach, you ask any superior, whether it's Michael Jordan or Jerry Rice, running up that hill and down that hill, those guys reach inside themselves, man, and go to another level that regular people don't go to. And I knew watching him that I would never go there, man. I would never get there. I don't care how funny I am, I would never achieve what he's found, what he wants, what he desires. And right there I went, I'm going to be a writer. And then it was so funny, man, because 1 month later he came to me, he said, Rashawn, I got an opportunity to do a TV show on ABC. I said, you kidding me? Because, you know, dude, this 92, okay? Okay, who you fooling, dude? What black person, what white person asked you to do TV, Steve? You? Okay? And he said, no, man, I'm serious. I said, okay, cool. He said, Rochelle, what do you want to do? I said, I want to write. He said, he was actually surprised when I said it. He said, you walk over stand up? I said, yeah. I said, dude. I ain't ever going to do what you did, man. I ain't ever going to have that desire to do it like you're doing it. I thought I saw the best in the business that night, and I haven't been wrong. And that allowed me to understand where I should focus my skills. Now, I did stand up continually because I remember we did it in L.A. We sold out in 2000. Me, Steve, and Anthony Brown, we sold out like 5 shows at the Universal Amphitheater. So I continue to do stand-up casually, but never was I ever doing stand-up to seriously challenge anybody in the business because I saw the best of Steve Harvey, man. And to this day, man, he's still the most gifted stand-up I've ever seen with his longevity, with his specials. I put him up against anybody, and I've been fortunate that God put us in a position where he put two talented guys together. One had no problem being an excellent producer and a writer, and the other one had no problem being an amazing stand-up comic. And that's how we did it, man.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
Some people have a career for 20 or 30 years. And they live on what they did, and they can't seem to, they get older, they get past 50, and they can't, I see a lot of this in the industry, they can't turn it into something else, or they're not willing to turn it into something else. They're waiting for...
That's the key right there. Here's the key. They're not willing to admit they're going to get old. See, you have to sit around and realize that you're going to get old in this business. I told you, I said, when we did the radio deal, I didn't want me and Steve to be two old black men in Hollywood.
Right.
You know, I want us to control our destiny. Right there, I realized that we were going to get old. Okay? And I also realized that to maintain longevity in the business, you have to be topical. You have to feel like you're hip. Mm-hmm. The one thing that when you talk about Steve, you don't even talk about his age. He feels so current. He feels so topical. He feels so relevant. Mm-hmm. And that's by design.
Mm-hmm.
Radio allows us to be in the mix, but you know, but we're entertainers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We are politically conscious when necessary, mm-hmm. but we are entertainers, and so that allows me to say, look at Steve's morning show, for instance. Okay, you have Steve, he's the star of the morning show. Then you have Shirley, and then Shirley's a single mom, and Carla, she's a married with a beautiful daughter, and then you have Tommy, he's the wild child of the show. Mm-hmm. Now, when we started this morning show back in 2000, you know, which was 14 years ago, you know, Tommy was a certain age. Now, he's 14 years later. He's a little older. Mm-hmm. So I said, I got to bring in another young cat named Junior, who's 36.
Mm-hmm.
So to make the show still topical, because what you eventually realize is this, man, and I would tell people all the time, when people tell me, man, you look good for your age. Okay, I look good for my age until you put me next to a 20-year-old person.
Right.
You know, look like the daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, and the same thing in being topical. You know, you can, the worst thing in the world is to act like you know how to talk to you. Bring somebody on your show, and that's how they talk.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? When you're communicating, everything sounds topical and normal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, and what happens, who did it best, man, was Quincy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Quincy Jones stayed so topical in the business for so long, man, because guess what? He hung with young people.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't act like he was young. He knew he was Quincy Jones.
Right. And then they had respect for him. And that's another
thing
I noticed in the industry is that there's always been a generation gap where that middle is missing. You know, you're either young or you old, and it's like generally the older people don't allow the younger people in the circle because they fear that they're going to take over whatever they're doing.
Well, see, the thing is, the last person that did it right to me mm-hmm. was Quincy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Because Quincy Jones, he stayed in the groove. Because, see, man, once you admit in this business that, you know, you can get old or you will get old, then you start planning. You plan to start protecting your brand, or how do you stay in the zone? How do you stay current?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all about. That's what it's all about. It's like, you know, success is based on staying current. It's no different than Apple. Let's put it this way: when the iPad came out, you know, I mean, the iPhone came out, revolutionized the industry. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, Samsung came out with this big phone.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody kind of laughed at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who gonna buy that big phone with that big screen?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. What iPhone? So iPhone sat over there for a minute. They put another one out, but all the people kept buying with these big old phones that nobody said would buy. Okay, then iPhone said, you know something? Bigger is better.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to sit over here and act like this not the topical. We're going to let everybody feel like it was our idea, too. And that's what people have to do in this business, man, and realize that change is fine. Don't keep hanging on to the script. Don't keep hanging on to the beat. Don't keep hanging on to the lyric. You have to adjust with the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people don't do, man. They refuse to adjust. And then guess what they do? They can become outdated. And then guess what they do? They keep trying to shove that outdated music, outdated script, outdated dialogue on people who don't want to hear, man. It's like somebody trying to sell you Shaft movie today. It ain't gonna work.
So then if a person is, if they have a legacy in the industry, unfortunately that legacy is left to yesterday. If they haven't been able to matriculate or turn that into something else.
Well, it's left to yesterday if you don't put people around you that keep you current. Like Clive Davis is very smart about that.
Right.
Okay, he stays the golden child or the golden man, but guess what? Around him, everybody stays current.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody stays topical, and he keeps the title of super genius.
Mm-hmm. So the key is to surround yourself with the right people. So what happens if you get in a situation where you get older and you're out of pocket,
right.
You're not working on the beach,
right.
And you want to get back in or you want to do something that relates to what you did before? Should you try to do what you did before and make it better, or should you do something else?
No, you can't do what you did before because it's outdated. That's why you. That's why you on the sidelines now. Mm. You know. But, you know, the thing about it is that when people come to me now, they go, you know, they say, Roshan, you know, wow, this is what you do. Can you do it for me? I have to examine. I sit down and talk to you. Go, what you want? Because I can't do for you what I did for Steve. Mm-hmm. He's a super talented guy. And he has a skill set that is particular to him. Mm-hmm. So everybody has to understand that route to success has to be based on what your current skill set is now, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And then also, how much time are you willing to put into it? Let me just tell you this. Steve Harvey is a workaholic. Mm-hmm. I'm a workaholic. Mm-hmm. So guess what? So if you come to me and you're not a workaholic, we can't mix. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to ask you to do some things that might be against your nature. Mm-hmm. And you go, hey, man, can I do it later? And guess what? When you say later, I'm going to be offended. Because mm-hmm. guess what? I don't operate like that. So, because I need it done now. Mm-hmm.
So do you think that success is when the work begins?
No. The success starts before the success. Mm-hmm. I didn't suddenly become a workaholic. I've been a workaholic all my life. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing about it is that people use that as a negative. I don't know what successful person is not a workaholic. I don't know what successful person is not a type A. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be type A for that moment and you can still go take vacation. Mm-hmm. You can be a workaholic for that moment and still go take that vacation. The problem is people throw around a lot of terminology, man, mm-hmm. that sounds abusive because they use it incorrectly. Is that being a workaholic is not a bad thing if you're successful at what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Being a workaholic is a bad thing if you're not accomplishing anything with your time. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yes. So you must get frustrated at times. Or what do you do at those times when you try to get somebody on the same page with you? And, for example, if you go and you're trying to get a sponsor and they just don't see what you see, or they don't cooperate, how do you deal with that?
Well, here's the deal, man. And that's a classic example because, hey, man, I've had so many bright ideas I thought sponsors should buy into. But first of all, you have to listen to what the sponsor wants first, mm. okay? Because, you know, you have to be able to exhibit. And what has allowed me, what I've learned over the years is this, man. Just because you lowered your idea don't mean somebody else is lowered your idea. Mm-hmm. One. Mm. Secondly, if you lowered your idea and you want them to spend money, then you really have to make sure that's the idea that they like, mm-hmm. too, because they got to go pitch it to somebody else. So whoever you pitching it to, remember, they got to pitch it to somebody else, mm-hmm. and they got to have the same passion you have, because somebody in that room, somebody going to raise their hand and go, I call that's the why person. Mm-hmm. It's the why person. They ain't got nothing to do in the room but say why. Mm-hmm. And when they say why, you better have an answer to their why. Mm-hmm. And so when you sit in the room and you're pitching ideas or you're pitching a project and they say no, don't be offended by it. Make sure you understand why they said no. Mm-hmm. And so, because that's why I always tell people, man, see, what frustrates me about people, young people, older people, especially in the entertainment business, they hang on to the same script. Mm-hmm. I've seen people come up to me, man, with a script they've been pitching for 5 years. Mm-hmm. For real, man. Mm-hmm. For real. Yeah, I mean, and the script, the pages are dirty. I've seen headshots that don't look like headshots. And
grease
that's the
stains.
Same thing. Huh? Huh?
I've seen grease stains on resumes.
I do. And it's the same thing here. You cannot sit around. If a sponsor tells me no, what I cannot do to that sponsor is to ask them why. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't make them become uncomfortable. Because I got to make sure that when I come back round two, that I am closer to their vision and they'll want to do business with me. What you cannot do, man, is become an antagonist to a potential sponsor. Mm. You know, you accept it, you thank them for their time, mm-hmm. and you walk away. Mm-hmm. What you don't do is they keep pitching like they stupid. Mm-hmm. Okay, whoever controls the purse strings are not the stupid people. Mm-hmm. They are the smartest people in the world. You just got to convince those smart people that you want to help them be smarter by spending their money with you.
Do you ever go back or do you leave it alone?
Oh, I went back and started repitching or pitching an idea maybe next year, 2 years. I've always eventually done business with everybody because guess what? Relationships. Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. See, once you go in that room and they let you in that room, your number one thing you want to come out of with that room is a relationship, man. Mm-hmm. somebody that you can call on in the future for a particular, maybe they might advise you on something. Mm-hmm. They might direct you to a certain person that they company that this will work with. Man, your number one goal in this business, man, is to develop relationships. And so what happens is, if you want a career, you better have relationships, man. If you want a long career, I remember early on in my writing career, like Steve gave me my first job opportunity on ABC on Me and the Boys, and they got Counselor Puffley. And then Robert Townsend, you know, gave me my second writing career on Parenthood. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, I did not stay on the show. I stayed on the show maybe 2 years at the most. Mm-hmm. And I went to another show. And I went to another show. Then I went from Parenthood. Then I went over to Arsenio sitcom on ABC. Then I went over to Sister Sister, which was on WB. And then I went over to Jamie Foxx show, which was on WB. And then I went over to the Monique show. Mm-hmm. That was the Parkers. Mm-hmm. So people always ask me, Rashawn, man, and I look at all my peers, they all stayed on the same show. Mm. You know, 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? When it all came down, I developed 6-7 people. I go ask for a job.
Oh, okay, that's pretty smart.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I knew directors. Mm-hmm. I knew writers. I knew, so my brand, and people used to always laugh at me in a good way. Rashawn, he ain't gonna stay on the job. That's right. Because see, I gambled. Mm-hmm. I gambled that I was talented enough and not afraid to walk away from a show that was on, that stayed on, like Steve's show stayed on like 7 years. You know what I'm saying? It's some people that wrote on this show the entire run. Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay, when it's all over with, they only have one relationship. Right. The executive producer, the director, and the people running that show. In the meantime, I had a relationship with Robert Towns. I went over to Arsenio show, ABC, I developed a relationship over there. Then I went to WB, I developed relationships over there. I went over to David Fox, Bentley Evans. All these folks went over to Sarah Finney, and all these, Patricia Henderson. All these people I have an amazing relationship with. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Only one person I've had to call on to assist me, and that was Sarah Finney when I felt I needed to transition out, and she helped me. But everybody else, man, I've never even called them on a favor because they are there, and if I need me, if they respect me enough, I'm there for them, and they're there for me. And they've watched my career grow, and guess what? If they need me, I'm always there for them. But it's all that relationship, man. So many people just want to be happy that they're working. You know, and you see that a lot in actors with long-term careers. Mm-hmm. You see Denzel, he'll work with a director a lot, like Fuqua, you know. He's done like 3 movies with that guy. In fact, his last movie was The Equalizer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the same guy he did Training Day with. Mm-hmm. So you see actors do the same thing. They build these relationships with certain directors and certain producers and certain studios, and guess what? They get longevity. They get careers. They get careers. What they don't do, actors with careers, man, are not assholes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They know that you're going to last in this business based on relationship. If people say you're a hard worker, you show up to the set on time, you know, you promote the movies and all that stuff, those are the people who last, have a career. And you can tell, man, you know, it's just, you know, I just have to bring up, whether it's Tom Hanks or Meryl Streep, it was just like Denzel. Mm-hmm. I saw him on Jimmy Kimmel promoting his movie. Mm-hmm. Equalizer. He's 7 years old. Mm-hmm. But he's still promoting his movie.
Yeah, and a lot
and
of
people like that,
yeah, don't want to do
like
it.
That don't even have time.
Yeah, or they don't want to do it.
Oh, I don't understand that. I don't get that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't get that.
Yeah, I know a lot of established singers who are insulted if they have to promote, if they have to go to radio and they have to promote their newest song, if they feel like they've been around for 20 years, that they shouldn't have to do that.
You cannot. You can never stop pushing your brand. You can never stop, man. Aretha Franklin called our show when she did the remake of the
Divas
Adele
classic
song. Mm-hmm. She called a radio show. Mm-hmm. Charlie Wilson, every time he drops a song, he calls us. Mm-hmm. It's not by accident. Now, there's some young guys who got that old school spirit. Mm-hmm. They're still making it. Kim, mm-hmm, old school spirit. John Legend. Mm-hmm. John Legend's amazing, man. This dude is a work a work in well, he's a worker, dude. Like I said, one more I wanted to pop his name out. Anthony Hamilton, hard workers, man. You know, that just pop out. Johnny Gill does a great job at it, man. Tank does a good job at it. These are guys, man, that, you know, you want me to come in and sing, I sing. You want to come in and perform, I perform. Because they're constantly hustling and reaping the benefits of the hustle, man. And I see guys go in, like, you know, dude, hey, man, I want you to come on the show and sing. Why? Okay, dude, I'll tell you what you do. I'll tell you what you do. You ain't got to say why to me. I walk away. It's a known fact, man. You perform on Steve Harvey's radio show, your sales increase by your CD sales or your single sales increase by 33%. Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed. 33%. And you're asking me why? Dude, this is your career.
So when we talk about relationships, when you look at people, executives who are in place in the industry right now, a lot of them they're not approachable. They're not approachable.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Is that a mistake?
I think that here's the deal, man. The industry has changed so much, man, because I don't think anybody really knows. You know, like, let's back up just a bit. Okay, when PPM, as people meters, came on the market, it changed the game. Mm-hmm. There was a plan to be able to get a new artist and put that artist on the radio, and they use the term, work the record. Mm-hmm. That doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to work the record because PPM, because it shows migration, it shows radio vibration. You know, if you ever see the PPM operate, you can see where a person will go from this radio station to this radio station right before your eyes. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can see that. You go, wow. And so because they can see that, then you might drop a new single. So I feel that people are not, executives are not as receptive because of the fact that they really are still trying to get a grip on, why does Taylor Swift work? Why does Beyonce work? But you know what has happened with these people, man? These people have taken control of their careers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And they're not allowing, and they got their vision down pat. Mm-hmm. And so what is happening is that you feel transitioning the mindset of people who are still trying to work records and versus people who are trying to do, who understand PPM and streaming of music, okay? Because somehow in somebody's mind, they sold out. They said, hey, man, you can't sell CDs no more. You make your money on singles. Mm-hmm. So that's where it is, and that's not true. Mm-hmm. That's not true. But if the industry tells you that, then guess what? And when you come to me as a new artist, I'm looking at you as a singles guy, and your CD is not valued like it should be when it should be exactly the opposite. So when you look at executives, they want new talent. They just don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like people come to me all the time. I'm not as receptive as I used to be because guess what? I can't put your song on like I used to be able to. Mm-hmm. I can't because of the fact that I get too much stress. I get too much, Michelle, what the hell are you doing? Man, you heard my radio station. And, dude, when you have 70 stations telling you that wears you down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so what you start doing is concentrating on your winning acts. And then when you bring an act on, you really ain't got that time to work that act that much. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I went to a lot of executives, and one of my big goals, and I want to stay in touch with you, Kevin, because I really want to be able to next level a lot of this stuff with these artists, man. We got to be able to get artists the opportunity to get their music to the second song on the CD. Because mm-hmm. right now they just get to the first song, and that's it.
Right.
And that's not fair.
You also realize there's a separation in the industry when it comes to artists. They have I'm sure you've noticed this. It's like artists, producers, radio people, record people. It's a small industry, but it's very segregated. It's like that we don't generally mix with each other. And of course, there's no conferences anymore. So we don't have.
Hey, Kevin, say that again.
Okay.
No conferences anymore.
Okay, there's no conferences.
You know why there's no conferences anymore? Because of PPM.
That I also think it's PPM, and I think it's corporations. I think that the corporations owning the stations kind of have a situation where they want to have control of their program directors. Because I've been asked to do a conference. I just got offered an investor just approached me this weekend to do a conference. I'm right. always asked to do that. And my thing is that I want to make sure that the PDs come. So, you know, we're actually discussing it, but that's always been the issue, and especially in the last 20 years, is that when you have mom and pop stations where different PDs right. can make their own decisions, you don't have that anymore. So it's like if the corporation says nobody is allowed to go to this conference, you know, then that could seriously hurt what you're doing.
Well, the problem is that you don't have PDs no more. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And, you know, I have to admit, you know, the syndication success of Steve Harvey and the syndication success of Ray Smiley, the long-term syndication success of Tom Joyner is why the PD world has gotten smaller.
Yeah.
Okay? And so now you have a PD might run four stations. Mm-hmm. Okay? Where it used to be you had four PDs running four stations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the corporation that you're talking about.
Right.
The corporation said, "Hey man, I don't need four PDs. What
right.
we're gonna do is we're gonna get syndicate somebody, and then we're gonna have them. We're gonna save money, and you're gonna control this whole cluster."
You know, I was talking to a PD the other day, and I knew they were doing this because I've actually talked to a couple of the kids that do this, but now there's been such a gap in breeding new talent over the years.
Yes,
it's like the corporations have gotten pretty lazy because you still have those other shifts that you could be training talent for. They have not brought in any new talent, so now there's no pool. So they're going to places like YouTube to look for new acts, you know, to bring to the radio station. But the thing is that these kids are so advanced today. It's like they know by getting a million, you know, likes or listeners or you know, fans or whatever else, that once they hit that mark, that they're going to be approached by advertisers. And so a lot of the advertising corporations approach them directly. So that encourages them to keep doing it. So they not only have a radio show, they have a video show, they have a TV show, they have everything. Radio stations are trying to approach them to be on the radio. And I told the PD, I said, well, where's the appeal? Why would this kid that's on YouTube that's getting paid directly from a corporation to mention their product, and that's getting, you know, paid to do appearances, the exact same things you're offering on the radio station, why would they surrender their freedom to come work for you?
Well, here's the key thing to that statement, because PPM doesn't allow the DJs or jocks to be creative anymore.
Right, right.
Okay, that's why you don't see the growth. You know, I don't give a damn. And radio stations promote Facebook, and they promote Twitter feeds and all the Twitter accounts, all that stuff. But they don't allow these guys to be creative, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what happens is, if they just allow these guys to be creative instead of saying, "Hey, you got 15 seconds to get to the next song,"
mm-hmm.
okay. then they will create the stars that you're talking about within their radio block. All I would ask is PDs and music directors and general managers to say, let your jocks be creative and have a personality,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your digital world will grow based on their social networking growth.
You know, we were talking about this the other day. I did another podcast with, I don't know if you know Lee Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Lee Michaels about this. The situation is even deeper than that, because it actually goes up to the upper echelon of the radio corporations who don't give the PDs the freedom. So I think there are a lot of PDs out there who will be willing to train talent, but I don't think that they have the ability. They don't have the freedom to do that. And I think that what my personal thought is that's because some of the wrong people are in place in some of the corporate positions. That don't.
Well, I think you may be right in mm-hmm. your assessment,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying that. I just think that when you have a system where you can see people moving
mm-hmm.
immediately from your station to the next station,
mm-hmm.
that strikes a tremendous fear
yeah.
into how do I allow somebody, how do I trust anybody on the radio?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so with this one, I'm going to get a veteran person with a semi name and put them there. At least I can trust that person. So I want to develop new talent. You know, because believe me, man, I'm in the radio game since 2014. I don't see no new talent being developed.
No, I don't see it.
Well, I don't see it. I don't hear it. I don't see it. And if I'm missing somebody, please let them know, because I haven't seen it.
Go ahead.
And it's basically due to the fact that, you know, it's like, I think that I remember when I was growing up in radio, you know, certain, you know, even the weekend shifts where you used to allow people to have the personality, those are being restricted,
right,
you know, to go to the next song,
Mm-hmm.
And so if the PDs and the general managers and the corporation will allow the night shows on Friday and Saturday that's where you had your development. That's where you put the young people.
Right.
You put them overnight. They can be silly. They can do extended conversation, do all that wilding out. They're not letting that happen anymore. See, so the development peers that used to exist, they don't exist anymore.
And you know what? To add something to that, and I kind of get this because I'm a business owner. The corporations
mm-hmm.
don't want the jocks promoting themselves or their brands online. And that hurts the announcer even more, because that's the age that we're living in. So
explain that to me, Kevin.
Okay.
So
they're basically, the corporation is saying that you are not allowed to promote your brand through us. You're not allowed to mention our station and promote yourself unless we give you permission. So in other words, it's like, if you might be able to promote your show and what's coming up, but you can't promote a club that you're working at and use our name, or you can't promote there's a new business that you're doing, a side venture, whatever else, and promote yourself. And we work in an industry that is based on promotion.
So in
this day and age of social networking, if a DJ cannot be online and have as many friends as he wants, I mean, first of all, you already know that if you don't have the content, if you're not talking about the stuff that people want to read about, or if your stuff is not interesting, then people are not going to follow you. They're not going to befriend you.
That's what I'm agreeing you on, is that because he's not allowing personalities to come out on these jocks, then they will not build a following base. They will not.
But they're not. It's not on the air, and it's not in the social networks. But
I
understand the corporation's perspective, because they're thinking, we don't want you to go out, for example, and do an event and mention our name on some flyer, and then somebody gets killed. You know, so I get that. I get that the corporation is protecting their brand as well. But I think in the long run, you know, a young DJ only has so much time. Now, I was a DJ from mid-80s all the way through the end of the 90s. And I came in that phase after the DJs who had the most freedom. The DJs who had the most freedom were in the 60s and 70s. And part of the 80s. That's when they could do whatever they want. They could play whatever they wanted. They hosted their own shows. They made money. That was they basically programmed their own shows, even though they were program directors.
Right.
And then that's what really got me interested, because I grew up around that. You know, my babysitter's husband played for the Buffalo Bills, so it's like I always saw DJs, you know, coming through the house, and that fascinated me as a kid. But then when I grew up and saw that it was so regimented, that we had to read liner cards, and, you know, that we weren't allowed to be ourselves, we weren't allowed to have personality, we had to watch the kind of jokes we told. And that was in the 90s, so it's gotten even more stringent after that. So in a lot of ways, Steve and Tom and Ricky, they have the freedom that other jocks don't have. But what I tell jocks on my site, I used to be against syndication, because I thought, well, this is taking away the jobs from the DJs. But then I realized later on that there's a place for syndication. I get why radio does that. And I tell I told announcers, I was like, you have to find a way to be a star yourself. It's like, these people have brought leverage to the radio station, so they're not coming to the station, you know, without a group of fans, or without impressive numbers somewhere else, or without a career as a comedian or something. So it's like, you have to figure out a way that you can walk into a corporation with leverage, You know, which we talked, me and you had a conversation about that the other day. You
right,
walk into a situation with leverage and
with
you have
20,000 people show up to see your concert and they go, who is this dude?
Exactly. You know, but you see how that works against them. What I'm saying is that it actually works against them because the station they may be at right now doesn't allow them to be a topical, as you said earlier, or
right.
build relationships online. So it's like they don't have the 20,000 fans. So if they
let me just say this, because this is right in my wheelhouse now. Because mm-hmm. I told you earlier that when we took over the radio station 92.3 to be in LA in 2000, we were number 19 in the market. Okay, and in 3 months we came on air September 19, 2000, and the book came out in January. We were number 2 in the market.
Right.
How we got to that point was we went into the streets.
Mm-hmm.
We did live broadcasts. We showed up everywhere, and we told everybody, and we reciprocated. And what happened, and you see right now, Tom Dorn is doing the same thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's making all these jock trips to all these markets. Because, man, in the end, man, you can't stop hustling. And the problem is what I hear from jocks on the radio is that they're only going places when people pay them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then it becomes like a paid appearance.
Right.
But you can't do that, man. If you're trying to build your brand, if you're trying to build numbers,
and
trying to build a relationship, mm-hmm. you got to just be out there, man. We were doing like 4 live broadcasts a month,
mm-hmm.
and which was unprecedented. I remember we went to the marketing director. He said, man, we normally do like 1 a month or 1 every 2 months. I said, I want to do like 6 this month. He said, we don't have a budget for that. I said, well, let's get a sponsor because we want to go out there and meet the people.
Right.
You know, we want to let them know that we exist.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't stop, man. Even when we got to them, we kept going out there, kept going out there, kept going out there. And on our morning show, I did the same thing when we syndicated, is that we went to all our markets all the time. And I started sending Tommy to the markets. And I started sending Shirley to the markets. Now I send Junior to the markets. And so I use their ability as comics to extend the Steve Harvey Morning Show brand, and then we stay current and topical in the market. And if, even if we're not doing anything, I'll make sure that we're current and topical in the market. And so what happens is, and I still believe today, man, that if a jock can go out there, man, and build his brand, build his following, as long as he's not doing it waiting on somebody to pay him. I really do believe
you
that.
Know, you know, my theory is that he should, and I just had I talked to a jock this weekend for a couple of hours on the phone about his work situation. My
mm-hmm.
theory is that if you, when you walk into a situation, generally the way you walk in is the way you walk out. So if
what?
I walk into a situation and somebody's telling me, I'm not going to give you a certain amount of money until you prove yourself. You know, I want you to work here 6 months and then we'll see how things go. Now I fell for that a couple times and it never works out. My thing is that if you're going to pay it to me in 6 months, you can pay it to me now. You know, if you have faith in 6 months that I'll be okay, you can have faith in me right now, especially when I have the experience. So they walk in and they accept those kind of positions, and then that day never comes where they get that money. Then they're being overworked, then they're stressed out. I think the greatest mistake I made, and I don't know if you'll agree with me, when I was in radio,
right.
and I will tell jocks to do this today, is give everything a time limit. I think you did mention that earlier. It's like you don't
yes.
ever stay with something for too long, because
mm-hmm.
you, especially when it's a negative situation, because you will burn, your self-esteem will be burned,
mm-hmm.
and you will
mm-hmm.
not have the energy to go mm-hmm. and do something else. So going back to what you said earlier, when you left those jobs that you left, did you leave on top?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Which gave you leverage
absolutely.
To get another position.
Absolutely. That's
okay.
the only way I was able to do it. I was leaving. Everybody would go, I hate to see you go, but I understand why you're going.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I see a lot of jocks don't see. They don't understand that. They think that they, you know, if I just hang in there a little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit longer, you know, if I keep, you know, chasing that carrot that's dangling in front of me. And, you know, I also say it's like corporations, you know, being a DJ, you don't have to necessarily be stuck at just being a DJ. You know, you could be a spokesperson for the police department. You could be a spokesperson
yes.
for the hospital.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
There's so many other things that you can do. You can do voiceover. So many other things you can do. I know jocks right now that make more money doing voiceover than they do being on the air.
That's absolutely true.
But when you stick with a situation that is not working for you and you're not happy in that situation, you get fried all the way around. So it's like you don't have the energy, you get lazy, you get stuck, and then you wait till that day comes when they finally fire you, and then you haven't, you know, you don't have the leverage of the relationships, like you said, to go somewhere else.
And you don't. And here's the thing I want to say, man, to all DJs who host Friday nights or Sunday nights or Saturday nights at clubs and everything, make sure those people are coming there to see you.
Mm-hmm. How do they do that?
Okay. They flyers. Mm-hmm. They promote it. You know, so that's an extended promotion. Just because it's on the radio, it should be on your Facebook. You should have flyers to go out there. Make sure you make that event your event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if they ever, so in the end, man, that's all I was just telling you about how I developed that when I opened my comedy club in Houston. I made sure that Thursday night was my event.
Mm-hmm.
I put flyers out there. I shook hands. I extended as much energy on that night that I extended any night of the week, because I had to make sure that people came back to see me. So if I wasn't there, guess what? The place is empty.
You know, that's a good point, because I see people handing out flyers, and they have everything on there, but it's like a small picture of the DJ. And then they got the women on there, and they got the liquor specials, and they got all the different things on there, but they're not putting themselves in the forefront.
Now, dude, if I have a night, I kid you not, if I got a night, a Saturday night at Bucaray or whatever, you know what I'm saying? You know, my Rashawn McDonald going to have his own flyers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be at the barber shop. I'm going to be at the beauty salon. Y'all come check me out. If y'all want to party like you never party before, come see me. See, what happens is, man, one of my all-time favorite people is Deion Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Deion Sanders. I said, Deion, look at me, my brother. You, I don't know what was running through your mind, but you figured out branding before anybody
mm-hmm.
understood what branding is. I call him the original branding artist.
Mm-hmm.
Prime time.
Mm-hmm.
He was prime time straight freshman year, Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That moniker has made him topical and current today. Young players are still high-stepping into the end zone like Deion Sanders,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because he's so topical. What I just tell people is that if somebody give you an opportunity, man, do not let it rely on their promotional machine to make you great.
Because
their promotional machine is never going to be specifically tied to you.
Mm-hmm.
They've given you an opportunity to be in a special place. Now, as you to be smart and say, you know something, I'm going to spend some extra money. I might not get paid just because this place is packed. But eventually, somebody going to know it's me.
So invest in
and
yourself.
They know it's me. Invest in yourself. And that's where they go wrong, man.
Yeah.
They go wrong. I go in some of these places on Sunday, these jocks, this is my night. I go in a place half empty.
Yeah.
Or the place is empty. Dude, I'd be embarrassed.
Yeah.
I'd be nervous. So I guess you're just here to take the check.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you're just here. Okay, shouldn't the light bulb go in your head? If this is your show and the place ain't packed, what are you doing to make it packed?
Yeah, I was just talking to a club owner the other night who was complaining about that. He was saying that, you know, he keeps getting these DJs coming in, and they keeps claiming they have these lists, and, you know, it's like they're dead. Fridays and Saturdays is just a waste of time.
Dude, because they don't do anything. They just take the check, and then, dude, they be up there, got the one girl on the side of them, they show up in any event that they show up at. Dude, I kid you not, if anybody hear anything out of my mouth when they hear this playback, it's that if you want to be successful, it's 100% on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's 100% on you. It's 100% on you to take advantage of the opportunity. And when you take advantage of opportunity, Kevin, it's not always tied to money.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
Secondly, you said something about if somebody says, well, you see how it works out. Okay, if somebody says to me, and people have said this to me, we'll see how it's going to work out. Okay, while we're seeing how it work out, this is what I need from you while we're seeing how it's going to work
right,
out.
Right.
I need some freeliners. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to promote my night on this night, mm-hmm. and we all good.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, though, I have worked free enough in this business that I don't mind working free, because I don't mind count 100% on my abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Because ain't nobody going to out-hustle me. Ain't nobody going to out-promote me. And ain't nobody going to stop me from being successful.
Right.
The problem is, people worry about, I always tell people this, man. If you're worrying about what other people think, you're already putting too much energy in the wrong direction. Hmm. Worry about what you're going to do. And if you do it, then you're going
to
win.
And then what you also, another point is that when somebody tells you that they want to see how you're going to do, they're actually testing you out to see how hungry yeah. you are and yeah. to see what you're going to do to, you know, to it's like in essence, they're a bit unsure about your abilities. And it's up to you not to prove, not necessarily prove to them, but to prove to yourself that right. you can actually do the job. So it's just like you said, that's a very good point. You want to make sure that you put yourself in a position that you have all the tools you need. You'll go ahead and you'll do the work, but I need this, I need that, I need this. You got to have
Absolutely.
A list of things you need in order
Absolutely.
To do it. Okay.
School ain't smart, man.
Right.
I'm telling you, dude, I'm telling you something, man. Look here. We ain't, Steve and I ain't always made money,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it's money we're making now. We think we should be making more. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you ain't ever stop trying to make money. But like, for instance, you know, they'll come to us and say, hey, man, we got to do a New York media tour.
Mm-hmm.
What if one day we said we don't feel like it?
Right.
Okay. We don't feel like doing Jimmy Fallon.
Right.
We don't feel like doing The View.
Right.
We don't feel like doing The Talk.
Or why?
We don't feel like it. They're going to look at us and go, okay, Steve and Rashawn lost their mind today. Okay, go ask them again. Maybe they just had a bad day today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay, then also, if we don't feel like promoting ourselves no more, guess what they're going to do? They're going to stop having 100% effort on promoting us too. So if we willing to burn the candle to both ends and promote ourselves, that gives me the right to go ask them why they ain't doing their job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what people have to understand, that I don't care how successful you become, you got to keep driving the bus to be successful, man.
Well, when do you rest? When do you get to a point where you can relax and enjoy it?
I think that it depends on your personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I love what I do, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love, so some people look at me and go, Steve asked me, man, you want to take a vacation? But I said, see, I love what I do, man.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that I am relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
I am relaxing, man, when I see us number one in New York. I am relaxing when we do a sold out concert. I am relaxing when I see Family Feud be the number one game show on television. I am relaxing, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what stressed me is, hey, we didn't have all that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Right.
We did have all this success. That's some stress, dude. And I'm in my 50. Okay. What is game plan when you have no success and you're in your 50?
To talk about what you did in your 30s. So what?
Thank you very much. So when you tell me, so Rashawn, when do you relax, dude? I'm relaxing.
Right.
The success allows you to relax, man.
Is
because
it?
I'm not fearful of failure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fearful that you know, one clean sweep, all this is going to end tomorrow, because we have options. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have a television show, we have a radio show, we have game shows, we have books. All those things are not going to be continuous successes on a ongoing basis. Some's going to stop and some's going to be redeveloped. But know this, man, that I'm enjoying what I do. And I'm gonna keep enjoying what I do. I know how to get a massage. I know how to get a great meal. I know how to fly and go to Cancun. I got all that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the success, you can't do none of that, dude.
How do you explain? Say, for example, you're in your 50s, like you said, and you don't have anything.
Yeah.
Is it too late mm-hmm. to reinvent yourself?
Yeah, but you have to be willing to work. You know what I'm saying? You have to be willing to. I'm gonna just tell you something. If you don't, if you did not create the relationships that I'm talking about, it's going to be real difficult,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be real difficult. So I can't help you create relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're an asshole or you weren't working when you were younger and you was high, well, guess what? What you going to get is a lot of this. Hey, what's happening, man? Yeah, get with me. Okay, cool. See you later. That's what you're going to get. So if you didn't set a precedent or a personality that, hey, man, this guy is a do-or-die guy.
Mm-hmm.
You come to him, he's going to work harder for your money than you work for your own money. That's the personality I try to establish.
Right.
Now, so if people out there have not established that personality, they're going to be hard, man. I can't do nothing for you.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Radio Facts Radio Show. My name is Kevin Ross. I'm your host for the show, and we've got more exciting shows coming your way. Make sure you subscribe at radiofacts.podbean.com or to the Radio Facts Radio Show at iTunes. Finally, don't forget to check out the website at radiofacts.com.